It must be given. So look at these events around that first Christmas setting. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." Now, there's one word used in this context that I need to explain because we don't have its equivalence in our culture, and that's the word betrothed. Kind of sounds like a severe medical condition, doesn't it? Something with a digestive. No, I'm kidding. But betrothal was actually one of the stages up to a Jewish wedding. One was the agreement was made by the fathers of the couple. The second stage was betrothal. That was what was entered into at a ceremony where mutual promises were made. And then the third stage was the actual marriage. It would happen approximately 1 year later when the bridegroom comes for his bride, and then the marriage is consummated. There was no sexual involvement at all before that actual marriage. In stage two, this betrothal was legally binding. This is important if you understand the setting of this, the first Christmas story in Mary and Joseph. The betrothal was legally binding. It actually required a divorce in order to break it. So Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Look at verse 28. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Verse 30, 'Don't be afraid, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for you have found favor with God.'" Almost every time that original word used in the New Testament, it's translated grace. You found grace with God. Verse 31, he goes on, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name," help me, "Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And then Mary asked a very reasonable question. It's not one that's couched in skeptical unbelief. There's not a hint of rebellion in it, but it's out of a legitimate concern. Verse 34, "Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?'" Clarification, her virginity was not in question. We saw it declared in verse 27, the angel was sent to a virgin named Mary. And then here by her own testimony to the angel, to Gabriel here. But she simply asked the question, "How?" Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" And one word in that sentence, overshadowed, it's the same Greek word that was used describing what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. While Peter was speaking, it says a cloud overshadowed them, Peter, James, and John. And the Father God spoke out of the cloud. That was that same overshadowing, the Shekinah, the glory of God that would produce something on the inside. Look at the last part of verse 35. "The Holy One which is to be born will be called the Son of God." It does not say he will become the Son of God at conception, because I love that song they sang this morning, "You were the Word at the beginning," John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. So recognizing this, obviously it wasn't, his beginning wasn't at conception, but his being called the Son of God, recognizing his nature from all eternity, being equal with God. The conversation with Mary and Gabriel, it continues. After Gabriel the angel answers her as to how this will happen, answers that question, he includes something that at first glance almost seems out of place. It's odd for this to be interjected in the conversation with Mary at this point, but it makes sense, I think, if we look at it more closely. Verse 36, he says, "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age. And this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren." She had been unable to conceive all her life. Now at older age, John, who would be called John the Baptizer, his mother has conceived. Look at the next. So he puts this out. Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived. Look at verse 37. Say it with me. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Again, it's just interesting to me that Gabriel would drop into that conversation Elizabeth's testimony. At that really important time in Mary's life, he would use her testimony to encourage Mary's faith. God has brought some of you that are here this morning, brought you all through your own deliverances, your miracles, your encounters with God. And I believe that you will often, and you have often, been able to use your testimonies to help somebody else see that with God, say it with me, nothing will be impossible. And as Gabriel finishes saying these words to Mary, then he's silent. Okay, Mary, you've heard the call. You've received the invitation. You've gotten an overview. And the next verse is a culmination of this detailed conversation that the angel Gabriel has had with the Virgin Mary. And I love verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Whoa! Response. All the information that was going to be given at that point is given. Now, Mary, what's your response? Would you maybe just say that last part of that with me? Oh, I want to say it for myself. Let it be to me according to your word. See, hear this. Mary said yes to the will of God, the purpose of God. Permission was given. May God give us hearts like Mary this morning. Amen. God, whatever your will and purpose is for me, yes, I am your servant. But now Mary must move from permission to the second P word of this message. Number two is process. I don't even say that out loud with me. Process. I don't even like the sound of that word. Because when we actually have to live it out, we understand that's not always pleasant. Process isn't all. But process will follow permission. That's pretty much God's standard, it seems, in the plan. My personal preference would be that some way we speed it up. Let's skip process and get on to the product. But God is process-oriented, and he will not let us skip some things. There's an interesting few words in the end of verse 38, and it just simply says, the last few words there, six words, I think, and the angel departed from her. So Mary's process has started because she said yes, she gave permission. Process has started, yet we do not see Gabriel remaining on the journey with her. He like stopped talking and disappeared, and we don't ever see him again in Mary's life. Now don't, not to despair or anything. I just think that those words being included in this verse communicate something that's really important for us to understand this morning. Don't feel that in order to keep moving forward in God's process, that there has to be a continual spiritual high that's experienced. I am not trying at all to minimize spiritual high points, times of impartations or goosebumps or visions or dreams or miracles. Thank you, Jesus, for all those things. But I want us to understand together that most of our lives are lived without a daily dose of those things. Don't misunderstand me again, because as a born-again child of God, and those of you who today will come to surrender your life to Christ, we have the promise of his presence and of his power living on the inside of us. I'm thankful, so thankful for that. But it's called Psalms 23, so familiar. But let me read this one verse again that's familiar again to most of you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's talking about, I believe, process. Indwelling presence of God, the comfort of God walking us through that. Look at some of this process with Mary, because now some months have passed. Elizabeth's baby has been born, John, who was the fulfillment of Elizabeth's promise. Yet Mary is still walking through her process. And part of the process was dealing with Joseph when she turns up pregnant. Listen, it's an amazing part of the process. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 1. Luke gives us pretty much from Mary's perspective. Matthew's gospel gives a perspective from Joseph's through his eyes. I can't go into Matthew 1. It's a fascinating story. You can read it later, maybe even this week before Christmas. But to me, it's more validation, more proof that we don't have to have the process all figured out. We just need to keep obeying God. Somebody said, you can't figure God out. You just need to figure him in. Let God get figured into your process. Mary had to do that because here this... But God worked it out with Joseph, and let God work through our process too. I'm choosing that right now. Amen. How about you? I want to remind you that again, concerning process, God doesn't always seem to... Let me back that up. God doesn't usually seem to... Does God ever explain through process? Maybe he's like... It seems like he never explains all the things that are involved. But thinking back on this, I am personally thankful for the secretive aspects of process. I believe that's part of the protection of God for us. Because if some of us would have known what the process would entail, we would have been so fearful and so intimidated and so overwhelmed, I would have quit before I ever got started on the process journey. Some of you would have either. But be encouraged. See, even... Some of you this morning are in the middle of some difficult process in your lives or family or circumstance. Listen, know that God's got your next steps. God knows what needs to happen in process. The question will be this morning, will we trust him? Will I trust him in process? But God, I don't know about. What about this that I can't? When? How? I don't. But look, I want you to say something with me as we put it on the screen. I will trust God in the process. Now, I need you to say it where the person sitting next to you hears you say it. I will trust God in the process. Amen. See, God knows what I need to pick up in process. Things that need to be developed in us through process. And oftentimes, those are not going to be gained any other way for where God's taken us. So let's look at Mary and Joseph's process. Luke 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And taxed, literally, the definition of that means to enter the names of all the men, their property, and their incomes. Sounds like a typical government activity, doesn't it, right there? But so the decree went out, Caesar Augustus. Verse 3. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. Verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused or betrothed wife, being great with child. I timed reading this passage. You can read this that whole passage in about 35 seconds. But you can be sure that this part of process was going to take Mary and Joseph a lot longer than 35 seconds to walk through. Because this thing turned their world upside down. Get the picture. Whatever plans that Mary and Joseph had, they'd walked through so much and God taking them through this. And as the preparations were being made for Jesus' birth, we can be pretty sure that they all centered around them being in Nazareth, where they lived. Now, all of a sudden, the change of plans happens. We've got to go to Bethlehem. Because Joseph was, as it says here, he was of the ancestral lineage of King David. Now, that was prophetic. Had to come through David's line. Walk with me in this. The Messiah also had to be born in Bethlehem, not in Nazareth, where they were. God sometimes is in process of getting us from point A to whatever point he's trying to get us to. And to get to point D doesn't always go through B and C. Sometimes he said, I need you. I've got a plan. You may not get it right now, but somebody say process. See, God sets this up. Can you imagine? That one phrase, I love it from the King James when we put it up in that translation. Mary is great with child. That doesn't mean fantastic, wonderful, great. Great, a loose transliteration of the original Greek comes from two words. And it again, loose translation means she's about to pop. Actually, it says burst, but it seemed like I get it. How many women here have birthed babies? I see hands all over here. Could I ask you, or see if you agree with this statement, discomfort isn't nearly a strong enough word to describe your condition just prior to your baby being born. Is that right? Okay. Let me ask, I'm going to tread where angels fear to tread for a moment, if you'll stay with me. How many men are there here who lived with a pregnant woman before giving birth? Some of you, you're not even going to admit to, because you don't know where this is going. Can I say again that if you're the man in that equation, discomfort is not nearly strong enough word. Somebody say, don't say it out loud. Hormonal, moods, physical conditions. In this story of, maybe I should have reconsidered this, but in the story of Mary and Joseph, I think sometimes Joe doesn't get quite as much credit as he probably really deserves. See, Mary said yes, and both of them were walking through process. Hallelujah. maybe get a load of maybe where process would lead them. I don't know, but probably Mary's about 8 months and maybe 2 or 3 weeks pregnant at this point. Now, I can just imagine the conversation that Joe has with her. Mary, I don't know if you heard on the news, but new taxes have come out. So we have to go to Bethlehem next week. Do what, Joe? I said, I don't know if you heard the news. Yeah, I heard that part. What'd you say? Like, we have to go to Bethlehem next week. What did you say? We have to go to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is 80 miles from Nazareth. About 80 miles. Yo, Mary, no problem. You know, I got the Uber app. I'm going to bring it. We're an hour and a half. We're going to be there. You know that's not true in Bible days, don't you? I hope you know that. But the truth was, Bethlehem, get on a donkey or maybe in a wagon and take 5 to 7 days, 8 days maybe on this trip. And Mary looks over at Joe. They get to Bethlehem. I won't even ask how many of you have traveled with extremely pregnant women before, but it slows the process. Let me just blanket it with that. Oftentimes, they finally get to Bethlehem. And y'all know, I think we preached about last Sunday, no room in the inn. I can just imagine Mary looking over so sweetly at Joseph and saying, Joe, I hate you. Look, I can't find that in the Bible. Here's a word of advice to people who are under pressure like Mary had to be right then. Don't say stuff that you shouldn't say. Maybe I should just say, don't say anything at all when you're feeling like Mary must have been feeling right there. No room. But see, even though they couldn't understand a lot of the whys, and maybe it didn't even dawn on them about the prophecy, I doubt that it did. That the Christ child, that Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem, they just know in their immediate circumstances, please, believe this is the word of the Lord. Don't let your immediate circumstances, the things that you're caught up in right now, keep you from obeying God, because he's got something else outside of this. Don't stop where you are. Don't throw in the towel. Don't decide I'm going to abandon ship, and whether spiritually or situations that you need to stick with and go on, walk this own thing out in obedience to God. Let him, because he is in process with us. Amen. I believe permission was granted. process is still going on. But lastly, I want to look at the last P as get the drama team to come this morning. Because the last P, number three, is that there is a promise involved here. It wasn't just that they would walk through process, but God had promise for them to be involved in. Luke 2, verse 6, and while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. All of that process that culminated right there. There would be more to come, but thank God for that. She gave birth to the promise, which was Jesus. Mary said yes. God brought to pass the birth of the promise, Jesus. Beyond this amazing promise of birth, what you're about to see acted out here in this room is much of the life of Jesus. Watch carefully as these many scenes begin to unfold, that the stories that are told in Scripture of Jesus, not only his birth, his baptism, Jesus calming the storm, Jesus when he was arrested and in the garden, his beating, his crucifixion, his being placed in his tomb, in a tomb, his resurrection. Watch this as they present this to you.
God with us, God.
Yes. Incredible. The story of Jesus told over that several minutes. Thank you, guys. Worked and developed this, and I so appreciate you. Man. If you'll just give me about 3 more minutes, I want to share something. We started off this message with the truth that Mary said yes. But this week, there's been a weird question that I think God was having me build on. And the question was, what if Mary had said no? What if Mary said no? Would God have made her, forced her to conform to His will anyway? Or would God's plan for the salvation of mankind, would have that have been left unfulfilled? I believe the answer to those questions are no. No, He wouldn't have forced her. But no, His plan would not have been left unfulfilled either. But while God's plan would have ultimately come to pass, had Mary said no, I believe she would have forfeited her place in His plan. An amazing plan of God. The reason I just asked those speculative questions about Mary was not simply about Mary. This morning it's about us. What if we say no to God's plan for each one of us? See, I know that God's got a purpose for everyone sitting in this room. The only way that we get to participate in that plan is that we say yes to Jesus ourselves. God's will is so clear. 2 Peter verbalizes it, writes these words, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's foretold by the prophet Isaiah. The proclamation, the decision, the word of God, Isaiah 1 verse 18. God said, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Forgiveness and cleansing today are available and possible only because that Jesus took our sins on the cross, as they depicted on this stage a few minutes ago. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to make a decision for God. Nobody, again, permission can't be forced. It'll be your decision. We're not cramming something down your throat. Actually, Jesus put it this way in Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, Jesus said, I'll come in. The call of Jesus is to follow him. Would you close your eyes for a moment as prayer partners, you come. With only a little over a week left in this decade, 2019, we get to choose on this last Sunday morning before Christmas. In a few moments, I want us to pray something together, but listen, please understand this. Simply repeating words of a prayer won't save us. But if you will today deliberately and willingly say yes to him, today can mark the beginning of new life. For those who have never given ownership of your heart and life to Jesus, this is your day. For those who at one time have walked with the Lord, but you in process somewhere decided differently, got distracted, discouraged, pull back and quit that journey in the Lord. Today is the day of starting that afresh. And God will allow that. Whosoever will, the Bible says, let him come. Take the water of life freely. I want to lead us in a prayer. Again, not magic words. Words that are biblical in their setting. And we're not going to, you don't have to pray it alone. But if you're involved in this, and as a whole church, we want to be able to pray it together. You can pray it after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you, repenting for my sins, everything I've done wrong. God, I ask you today to forgive me and to cleanse me. Based on what Jesus did, thank you, Jesus, that on the cross you took all of my sins. You did the death penalty for me. And then you rose again. I open the door of my heart now and I ask you to come in. I give you all the authority in my life. Wash me and make me new, just like your word says you will. This day marks it. I choose you as my Lord and Savior. I say yes to your purpose for me. I can't do it in my strength or my ability, but I let you come. I ask you to fill me. As I follow after you from this day forward, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your transforming work. Do it in me as I yield. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now I want you to stand up with me all across this room, worship team. As we are in this place, if you prayed that prayer either for the very first time or as one who is making a new beginning, has made a new beginning in Jesus today, prayer partners up here, I want you to grab the follow-up material. Cody, on your end and on the other end, grab the follow-up material there. We've got some things to help you on the first steps of your journey. Now, as the worship team begins to sing, as we begin to celebrate in this closing song, if you pray, how many in here prayed that prayer or either starting or for the coming back to God commitment? I want you to step out from where you are. Come right up here. Just come on up. It's okay. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to give confusing instruction. It's new beginning time. Worship team, lead us. Y'all come on up. We're going to give you some stuff. They're going to take your name. We want to help you on this incredible journey that you've just begun or restarted with the Lord. It's new beginning time. The light. Worship God with us this morning. morning, would you?